Back with you now on The Takeaway. We continue our look at education in the United States with one teacher who has gone on strike himself and has done a lot of thinking about what educators face in America today. Nate Bowling teaches American government and politics and AP human geography to grades 9 and 12 in Tacoma, Washington. He was a 2016 Washington State Teacher of the Year and one of four National Teacher of the Year finalists. The others were Sean Sheehan, Daniel Jose, and Johanna Hayes.
2 weeks ago, I was in Los Angeles. I'm speaking at an education convening, and it hit me that like I had been on strike in September. Daniel was in strike in California at that time, and Johanna had just become a member of the House, and Daniel was in D.C. And it really hit me that like all four of us had these, you know, kind of career experiences.
So two of 2016's top teachers have gone on strike, and two have left teaching altogether for D.C. Nate wrote about this on Twitter in a thread that thousands of people engaged with, and he joined us to go even deeper, exploring what these paths tell us about the state of teaching in America.
I think what's happened to the four of us is kind of demonstrative of a two-track problem in teaching. Track one is just that, like, without exception, or with few exceptions, teachers across the country are drastically underpaid, given the skill set that being a teacher requires. And also, frankly, the number of obligations that are put onto our plate has become unsustainable. The second track is about what's happening with highly effective educators. Effective mid-career educators are fleeing the profession, and they're fleeing the profession because the skill set that it takes to be an effective educator translates to a lot of other careers as well. And so I've seen people leave teaching to go be technical writers and project managers, and those jobs are lower stress and actually pay more.
Well, you know, there's a lot of lip service to the importance of education and teachers. How do you explain that we got to this moment for teachers in America?
We pay a lot of lip service in American culture and society about valuing education. But like one of my favorite quotes is from Joe Biden. Joe Biden said, "You can tell me your values, but show me your budget, and that'll show me what you really value." I don't think we actually value educators and education. And I think one of the contributing factors to that is that it's a feminized career. If you look at like similar career fields like social work, nursing, and teaching, it's a career field that's led by women. And there's a bit of like institutional latent sexism in teacher salary. I have the benefit of like working with some really phenomenal women in my profession, but they're underpaid. And I think if the demographics of teaching were different, if the demographics of teaching look like firefighting or like police officers, then the salary issues wouldn't be there like they are.
So what do you think about the response of striking by teachers in the face of not feeling valued, as you say?
Strikes are an extreme response to like what's happening in our school systems, but they're also like a last resort. Listen, like nobody wants to go on strike. Being on strike's a miserable, miserable experience. Like I didn't go to school. I didn't go to grad school. I didn't spend all the time studying so I could walk a picket line. Like walking a picket line is not a pleasant endeavor. You sit there and like you walk back and forth. It's mindless. It's mind numbing. And I've been on strike twice. I haven't enjoyed either one. That said, the reason why people are going on strike is that they don't feel heard, and it's a way in order to get the community's attention, in order to get real change.
And I imagine you're following these across the country. What was your reaction to the strikes in Denver that just started?
I think what's happening in Denver is demonstrative of the problems in the teaching profession. Like we have a class of worker and a group of teachers out there who like don't feel heard and feel frustrated, and they're taking to the streets because that's like the only thing that they have left. I feel that far too often teachers aren't engaged in the policymaking process or in policymaking conversations. And so one of the ways in which you can get heard is withdraw your labor. And that's what teachers are doing in Denver.
And what to make of the fact that these are happening? It's hard to imagine places more different than Chicago and Denver. You know, I'm trying to figure out like what pulls us all together.
You're exactly right. If you look at the places across the country where strikes have happened, in Oakland, in Chicago, here in Tacoma, in Los Angeles, and those strikes that happened last year, like in West Virginia, like these are very, very different places. But across the country, teachers are really frustrated. And the thing is like teaching is a really important job. I'm going to argue, and I often argue, it's probably the most important job in our society. But like we aren't as a system and we aren't as a country meeting the needs of our educators.
Do you feel like there is... at least something positive to take away from this narrative that we have teachers that are turning to policy work, at least, including one who is now a part of the government, that they might be able to make some of the needed changes?
when I posted that thread, I feel really sad about the condition of the profession. But I also know that like I have a platform in which I can tell and share my story with what's going on. And so I guess like one of the positives is that I hope that this is part of catalyzing a national conversation about what we want from teachers. Like what we've done as a society is we've just put like new obligation, new responsibility, new role, new obligation, new responsibility on teachers' tables, on teachers' plates. And like we haven't given them additional time to do any of it. The job of teacher, particularly at a low-income school, involves being a counselor, being a social worker, and being a surrogate parent, but there's no additional time in our school day and no additional resources or training to do that work. I think about this especially in contrast to the way that teachers are viewed abroad. In 2014 and 15, my wife and I had the opportunity to go and visit China, and we taught actually some summer programs there. And just comparing the way that teachers are revered in other places to the way that teachers are treated like factory workers here in the United States shows a really glaring contrast.
So, Nate, what would keep effective teachers in the classroom? What is it going to take?
I'm reminded of a rap song from the 1990s called Money, Power, and Respect. And like to me, teaching is like a three-legged stool. You can stand still with two of those legs, but you have to have one of them. And so essentially, like teachers are willing to work with below market wages and wages below like what our skill set says we're due. But if we're going to have below market wages, then like we have to feel like we have power over our profession and power of our classroom and the respect of policymakers and school leaders. And if we don't have those two things, then like the wages become a problem. Conversely, like if you have high wages, but you don't feel like you have any power or any respect from the community, it's the same thing. And so like two of those three factors have to be in place. And what we're seeing across the country is basically like those factors aren't in place.
Nate Bowling is the 2016 Washington State Teacher of the Year, National Teacher of the Year finalist, and host of the Nerd Farmer podcast. Nate, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And you can check out Nate's thread on Twitter about the four Teacher of the Year finalists. You'll also find links to his podcast and other musings. He's at Nate_Bowling.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.